new one for you. I like the way that sounds.
Making sense in a mad, mad world. You are now listening to The Madness Collective.
I put my thing in motion. I do it all night long.
Shutdown has ended, thank God. What do Oreos and cocaine have in common? Bet you're curious. Wondering if Biggie will get a street named after him in Brooklyn. Maybe, maybe not. Does SNL have a diversity problem? Do they? Are Future and Drake beefing? Who knows? And the BET Hip-Hop Awards happening. Our featured artist is Tuxedo. And that and all that and more on this installment of
The Madness Collective.
Good job, guys.
We've been trained and forced to do
that. So very quickly. So thankfully, the government shutdown has ended. The debt ceiling crisis has passed at least for the next, what, month and a half. I think we have a little bit of time.
Yeah, until January. Was it January 11th?
Well, so the government is financed through January 15th, mm-hmm. and the debt ceiling is lifted through February 7th. So okay. There we go. So we may revisit all this again very soon.
We definitely will.
So here's the thing. The Tea Party asked for a bunch of shit and they got nothing. They wanted to defund Obamacare. They wanted to delay Obamacare. Then they were like, can we delay the individual mandate? They were like, can we deny coverage to the president? Can we deny birth control coverage? Can we approve the Keystone Pipeline? Can we expand oil drilling? And President Obama and the Senate Democrats were like, no, 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 fuck you, no. So they basically, the only thing they got was so there's already provisions in the Affordable Care Act that you have to do income verification to get the subsidies.
Right.
And so I think they got that a little bit tiny. there's like an extra line to that. They didn't get shit.
You played yourself, son.
I'm surprised to see so many Republicans, they apologized and they said they felt embarrassed for what went down over the past few weeks. So it's not all of them. They're not all bad.
Okay, the Tea Party people didn't apologize. They did not apologize.
Yeah, they did.
So then, the cost of the shutdown. So this cost us, it took $24 billion out of the U.S. economy. $3.1 billion in lost government services, $152 million per day in lost travel spending, $76 million per day lost because the national parks being shut down.
Wait, no. We make $76 million a day on fucking national parks?
It's real business right there, son. It's real business.
I'm in the wrong business.
And then $217 million per day in lost federal and contractor wages in the D.C. metropolitan area. It's insane. So here's the other thing that happened, which is actually kind of funny, and I don't know, whatever. I'm going to let Tina read it. But the House stenographer, the vote had come to a close, things are wrapping up, and she walks up to the podium. And, she kind of belongs in that area, so people weren't really thinking too much about it. She walks up to the podium, and then she says,
he will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. Don't touch me. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. The Constitution would not have been written by the Freemasons. They go against God.
You go against God, or maybe you have the whole thing. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
And so the sergeant at arms came and they took her away. I don't know, for some reason you had, the beginning of it started, do not be deceived. God shall not be deceived.
I don't have that.
Well, what's funny about what happened also is that, everybody kind of knew the woman. So
yes.
When she went to the podium, again, it's a podium that the president has spoken from. He's spoken at this podium before.
Yes.
And they just thought she needed to give somebody a note. And then she goes on this rant. What I thought was interesting was that they actually commented, security said that they weren't going to really pursue anything or whatever, and it's like, if that had been a nigga, y'all know they would have been all over that shit.
Well, perhaps you're probably right on some level, but also I think that we need to pay attention to her because a lot of times crazy people speak some truth, and so I think we just need to just take a second and see what maybe she's trying to say, and maybe she has a point here.
So she explained herself.
She
explained herself.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if you have everything. Mm-hmm. So this is what she said. said, for the past 2.5 weeks, the Holy Spirit has been waking me up in the middle of the night and preparing me, though through my reluctance and doubt, to deliver a message in the house chamber. And that's what I did last night.
This is why I'm an atheist. Oh. I can't fuck with people like this.
She said what God was speaking to her.
I can say God was speaking to me to justify slapping the shit out of somebody I don't like. God told me to do it. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. But I thought it was actually interesting.
She's dangerous. She's dangerous to me. She's a dangerous person.
She said a house divided cannot stand.
Right.
I felt like that was kind of appropriate for the...
I think she was speaking some truth.
When you get elected to public office, then you can get up there and talk about how you feel about a house being divided and a house can't stand. You're a fucking stenographer. You do not... you're not allowed to go up to that podium. I didn't vote you. I didn't give you the right to go up. I didn't vote you in the office, which would give you the right to go up there and speak your mind. Sit your ass down.
But what she's saying is there's some problems with the Constitution. There's some problems with the government. That's simply what she was saying. And she's right. She's gotten moved so much because it's been so crazy over the past month, and it got to her. And I'm
so all of us should just be able to run up there to the podium and just speak our mind.
Not saying that.
The last thing I want to mention is
fuck her.
Clearly, the issues with the healthcare. The opposition trying to derail healthcare are not over. So one thing that was said by Representative Dave Camp from Michigan, Republican, he was like, "Now we're going to shift to oversight of the healthcare law, and clearly there are huge problems." He leads the powerful tax writing Ways and Means Committee. So he's like, "Now we're going to have to pursue what is this law really doing for Americans? Is it working and is it delivering?" Oh, he gonna know all this by January 15th. Like, are you serious right now? Like,
now that I'm thinking, maybe more people should stand up like her and express when they're upset about something. Maybe more people need to stand up.
Isn't that what we're doing on the nice way?
I guess so, in a nice way. Yeah, I get it.
Whatever.
So, also in the news this week, as most of us know who still pay attention and watch Saturday Night Live, they hired 6 new cast members this year, all white.
They're all the same color white, too. Like, no, there's no tan. It's like this milky... you have to see it to understand what I'm saying. There's no variation. It's just completely homogenous.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you about that. Yeah. This is the 6th year in a row without a black female cast member.
Right.
And Jay Farrell mentioned, he said, they need to pay attention and add a black woman to the cast. He actually listed a name. I think her name is Demira Brunson, who's on Tyler Perry's Love That Neighbor right now. She's really talented. She's amazing. So then what happened this past week is that Keenan also came out with a quote, and he said, "It's just a tough part of the business. Like in auditions, they just never find one that are ready." So he's caught a lot of flack for that this week. Yeah, so people have been responding.
Yeah, that hurt my feelings. I was like, wow, at first, you know, I'm really listening to him because maybe he knows what he's talking about. What is it that happens in these audition rooms? Because most of it's improv. I'm like, do they just go angry? Do they not have enough layers? Like, and I'm really trying to listen to him. I'm like, nah, that's bull crap. There has to be a good black female comedian somewhere. And then, I mean, there's no Asians, there's no Indians, there's nothing.
There's Indian American, isn't
it? And technically, Fred Armisen is Asian also. He's Venezuelan and Japanese.
So, Matt has
Chinese, I'm not sure. I know it's one of them.
But you need a black woman. You definitely need one black woman.
Well, so one of the issues is that Keenan usually puts a dress on and does Whoopi or does whomever.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's not going to do that anymore. So now it's like, who are going to play these roles? And because he's like, Jay might, but he doesn't want to either.
He's not going to do it anymore because of this?
No, I don't know. I think he's just
like, they just don't want to do it anymore.
So they're not dressed anymore.
Which kind of, in a way, is confusing because I guess in a way, because when I read his quote, I almost felt like maybe they took what he said slightly out of context. So I think it's not him saying that he doesn't agree that they need a black female cast member. The fact that he said he's not going to dress in drag anymore kind of speaks to that. So,
November 2nd, Kerry Washington will be there. So maybe she can play a couple of these roles.
Well, they think she might be a token.
You know, they had to book her well in advance of this coming out this week.
They have replaced people at the last minute, though.
No, that's true. They have.
I mean, it really could be a situation where they took somebody off of the off the schedule and replace
them. But that's not doing anything for me. That's 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's 1 week.
So you can regroup. So then you can start booking my niggas and set them up.
Okay.
Yeah. So speaking of Fred Armisen, though, what's his name? Lorne Michaels did have this to say about casting. He was like, because remember when they cast, when Armisen was playing Barack Obama for a while?
Yeah.
For at least one or two seasons. And there was a lot of people were kind of mad about that. It's like, dude, you can't find somebody black to play.
Yeah. That didn't bother me, though.
Well, because he did a really good job.
He did an excellent. He did a better job than Jay does, I think.
So once I got used to him doing it, I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I do like his Obama. But for Lauren, his thing was like, it wasn't about race. It was about who had the best take on Obama, who kind of really got
the essence of it. Yeah, I get that.
So that's where Lauren Michaels is with it. So there we go. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of shows.
And just so I know, has there ever been, besides Maya Rudolph, who's
kind of they had a total of four.
Yeah,
and the history of the show, which started in 1975.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
So, and Maya left 6 years ago.
Damn.
But exactly. They kept calling her back to play Whitney Houston and Beyonce and Michelle Obama.
Yes.
And it's crazy because any other political climate, we'd be constantly clowning the president and the first lady. They don't have the flexibility to clown Michelle because they don't have a cast member to play her.
So we got to move on. Oreo cookies and cocaine. So apparently, Oreo cookies are as addictive as cocaine. There was a new study from Connecticut College shows that Oreos are as addictive as cocaine, at least for lab rats. According to the new study, eating the iconic black and white cookies activated more neurons in the rat brain's pleasure center than drugs such as cocaine. And they're saying that the findings suggest that high-fat, sugar foods and drugs of abuse trigger brain addictive processes to the same degree and lend support to the hypothesis that bad eating behaviors contribute to the obesity, which also is kind of compared to like drug addiction.
Makes sense.
There's got to be some context, though. I mean, if somebody, let's say, hypothetically speaking, you're at a party and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and somebody puts a line of blow in front of you and an Oreo cookie, depending on your state of mind, what happened that day, I don't know if the party is jumping. I don't know. I think some people might, you know, snort that line before they eat that Oreo cookie. That's all I'm saying. That's a stretch.
I'm just curious if it's specifically Oreo cookies. Could it be a chocolate chip cookie?
It's fat and sugar. It's fat and sugar.
So they use an Oreo cookie, but they also said that, like most of us, the rats went straight to the center. Yeah. They ate the center first and then ate the crust.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
And I hate Oreo cookies.
Oh, really?
Do not eat Oreo cookies. No.
Well, I think anything that's pleasurable is addictive. I think they could throw sex right there. It could be the cocaine, the cookie,
exactly.
The dick or pussy.
Exactly. Exactly. Depending on.
Okay.
If you hungry, I guess you're hungry to eat some pussy.
You know what?
What do you want?
That's what happens. So, speaking of sex.
Mix them all.
Stick an Oreo in the pussy and eat it.
One more time. Speaking of sex, Chris Humphries auctioned off Kevin's engagement ring. He got it. He sold it for $749,000. And also, Kim sent Kanye a picture this week. And
that pic was hot.
Yeah,
she looks good.
Hopefully, maybe we'll be able to show it because I can't. Like,
see that?
It's fine. We'll show it on.
But y'all saw the picture. Everybody saw the picture.
And you see what Kanye tweeted right back? He said, "On my way home now."
Heading home now.
And all caps.
I thought it was so cute, though. It was so cute to see that they love each other. That they want each other. Are addicted to each other. That she still wants to look sexy for him. I like it.
I mean, I was like, damn.
Yeah, it but you know what?
When
I saw it, though, I would never tell you that her body is enhanced or anything, but I know I saw there's a shot of Nicki Minaj in the high school video, and the way that their butts kind of, it looks like it's not built for that leg because it's so much ass. But I mean, those asses exist, so can't do anything. She did. She looks good. She looks good.
Yeah, stay tuned for segment two of the Madness Collective Music. We're coming back with Drake and BET Hip Hop Awards and Tuxedo. We'll be right back.
music segment. It's a lot of drama this week. We're gonna jump right in. We're gonna go in and let it out. Drake kicked Future off of the Would You Like a Tour. And it was related to an interview. The tour, incidentally, it was Drake, Miguel, and Future. And apparently, Billboard magazine interviewed Future, and they asked him some questions about Drake's new album. And here's the quote. Future said, "Drake made an album that is full of hits, but it doesn't grab you. They're not possessive. They don't make you feel the way I do. I want to make you want to fall in love." That was the quote. I guess Drake
got Future is the auto-tune dude.
Yeah.
Just so we're all clear about
that.
Yeah. That is
true.
He's like the new T-Pain. That's basically what he is. And so I guess, you know, I didn't really feel like he insulted the album. He says the album full of hits.
So can we follow up with the tweet though? He was like, "I was misquoted."
Oh, he did say he was
misquoted. Yeah, he said, so he was like, "No, mad props to Billboard, you know, whatever, but I was misquoted and always love for fam Drizzy Drake."
See what I read, and see this is where it gets fun when stuff like this comes out, and I believe he said it. I read that his manager was scrambling to like regroup because it was said off the record and they put it on the record.
We won't. So then he was like, "I was misquoted." That was a tweet. Yeah,
he said that shit.
But the other thing too, with the whole like him suing Drake for being taken off, all of that was from an anonymous source. Well, no, I'm sorry, the anonymous.
Yeah, they can't confirm. Nobody's confirmed.
Nobody can confirm that. And the anonymous source was the one who said that Drake was like, "Either you fire him or I'll fire him."
Right.
Again, anonymous source. Like you said, we're not going to get the truth.
Can we say that you can't bite the hand that feeds you, and Drake is the bigger performer, and so how dare you say anything bad about him? You know, can we say that?
He did say, but see, that's the thing. This wasn't overtly negative, though. I disagree with the statement to begin with. It's not full of hits. It's a couple songs on there that are okay. But
I think starting from the bottom, now we hear.
It's like five solid songs on the album.
But I think it's a joke for Future to say that his album is better and that he'll make you fall in love.
He should just stay away from it. I was hot. Can't wait to be on tour on my boy Drake.
Does Future even have an album out yet?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I don't think Future has an album out yet. I'll have to check.
Good point. Bite the hand if he's
I don't follow Future too closely, but
at any rate,
all of this happened early last week, and right before, you know, I was doing the research for today, they kissed and made up. So Future is back on the fucking tour.
The tour's happening.
Yeah. He was threatening to sue for $1.5 million. So,
which we can't confirm.
Yeah, we can't confirm anything. So that's that. TLC did a medley of their hit song, "Good Morning America." Obviously Left Eye was not there. It was Chili and T-Boz. And they did a good job, I thought.
Yeah,
and they've been doing the rounds because I think the movie comes out next week.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think it comes out next week. And they were talking to MTV News and they revealed that Britney's "Hit Me Baby One More Time" was actually written for TLC.
Yeah, and they were like,
I can see that.
Yeah.
But they didn't like the context, the lyrics of it, "Hit Me Baby." They like stuff that is a little bit more, I don't want to say political, but makes a difference.
It didn't work.
Well, it's not. I didn't think it was urban enough.
Yeah,
they could have sang it more urban. They don't have to sing it like Britney does.
Not true, but
yeah, that's true.
I think they were very clear because you listen to the, if you read the article or listen to the interview, you know, she's like, you know, no disrespect to Britney, no disrespect. It's not like we're turning down hits, and we knew it was a hit. It just wasn't gonna be hit for us.
Yeah,
she was very clear about that.
It was a good decision.
I think. I like the way she explained it.
Pitbull, Preston is gonna love this. Pitbull opens, he opened a charter school in Little Havana.
Yes, good job.
In Miami. And I think it was NPR, they had a thing where they did a whole thing on him. And he has six children and they're all in charter schools. Mm. And there's been a little controversy because the school caters to sports.
Yeah.
And basically what Pitbull's approach is, you know, people always try to act like you can't marry those two, academics and sports. And he says a lot of things you can go into. There's a business. Sports is a business.
I don't think that people like this can't marry, but I think because his emphasis, he's like, I want to pull them in with the sports and then obviously get their academics together. Whereas you know, obviously most people want to focus on the academics and then you can play your sports. But we all know, especially in our culture, that's how you get through. It's like, I'm a dope football player, I'm a dope basketball player. Let me make sure I can read and write.
But he has a point. You pull them in, you teach them marketing, you teach them a sports lawyer, announcer. Like, there's many different things that you can do involving sports.
And so, you're right. To your point, if you are, if you support the charter school movement, which not everyone does, but if you are supportive of that, I appreciate the fact that he's doing something in the community.
Right.
From which he came, he's giving back. So, yes, I do. Good job, Pitbull.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, not all. It's three of his six kids attend charter schools.
How about your boy Mayweather?
Okay, Biggie. There was a movement to name a street after Biggie, and people had an issue with it because some people said he was too big. He's so big, like obese.
Which is crazy. That's the big whack.
That part was, but you know what? The other part, I mean, I'm not.
Which I love in the articles, Antoine's article, she's like, I researched him. First of all, who the fuck are you and do not know anything about him and you live in Brooklyn? Right. She knew nothing.
I think she was older, though. I think that's why she felt the need to research
her. Something. So she researched
him. She found out that he sold drugs since the age of 12.
Right.
Dropped out of school. He was obese. Like, she's like, there's nothing, no good redeemable qualities.
But that's what I didn't appreciate. Now, clearly, I'm not. He had a past. Right. He did bad shit.
It's a lot. Like, I'm going to read off the chart. Like Tim says, drugs at 12, dropped out of high school at 17, drugs and weapons charges, crack cocaine possession. His lyrics are pretty misogynist. He's overweight, and there's a change.org petition you can sign if you want to join the movement.
And the thing is, I understand that maybe he shouldn't have a street named after him.
T and I both live in that neighborhood. Did you see the corner that I was talking about? St. James Place and Fulton, I think. Oh my god. No, so I get it. I get it too. I get it.
Yeah, so I mean I understand. So it is what it is. I don't live there, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
Anywho, so did you get a chance to see the BET Hip Hop Awards?
Or what you like to call the
Call what?
What do you call the BET Awards?
Sometimes I call them Nick Awards.
All the award shows. This is actually the most appropriate part.
So Snoop hosted, and he actually surprised me. I didn't expect. He did not do a horrible job.
That's because I saw bits and pieces of it.
He's so good.
Oh no, I've seen Snoop do certain things before, and it just wasn't. It wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good fit.
Yeah. Well, he's mature now, so he's grounded himself.
Yeah. So it was a little funny. They opened up. James Lipton was interviewing him. It was like he was on the Actors Studio.
You know, I tried to watch that clip. I could not get through it.
No, it wasn't that funny.
I was like,
it was real awkward because James Lipton was using a lot of Snoop's lingo, and he incorporated that into the questions that he was asking. So it was corny. It was corny.
What he said.
But so he did an okay job. One thing that stood out to me this year was how old everybody was.
But
I mean, it's like hip hop is getting old. I mean, there have been years when they did where I've watched the Hip Hop Awards. And it was a really young crowd. Like, the performers, the audience, it was really young.
I just feel like the crowd. The shots of the crowd, I felt like...
But the performers!
You didn't have, like, Big Sean didn't perform, right? Like, you didn't have the kind of latest crop. You didn't have a lot of them. You did have a lot of older guys.
Yeah.
We're getting older.
Yeah, it was, I mean, just... It was a little odd.
I watched the Cyphers.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, I watched all the Cyphers.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk about those in a second.
I'm curious, I didn't see Lil' Kim. How did she look?
We're going to get to that in a second. Juvenile came out and did back that ass up, which
that's
I was...
cool.
I got a little excited when I saw
him. I was like, when did he get out of jail? He's been out for a minute.
Oh, yeah, he's been out for a while.
Do you think we'll be 80 years old dancing to that?
I
don't know if I'll be dancing. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to be pretty agile and everything.
You know what, though? What I did think about when I was watching it was like, will we be 80 or will they be 80 on stage talking about rest in peace to Biggie? Because that came up during the show.
No.
Okay, right, though.
Because when the generations change, it's just like... It's just like when you think of Run DMC and you think of like Young Jeezy and those guys, they don't put them on a pedestal in the same way. You lose that respect, unfortunately, gets lost through the ages when new blood comes through and they they make their mark on hip hop, and that's who they uphold.
I'm always happy for the shout out to Biggie and Pac, but it's just funny because, like, still, even now, I'm like, okay, 20 years from now, are the same cats, like, when?
Because new people will die. When Jay-Z is going to die one day, and they'll say that it'll replace it, you know, you'll start seeing more of that.
I think we'll be doing it, though, because I have to say, my 90-year-old grandmother in New York, when I go to her center, whenever Funky Good Time by James Brown comes on, they will throw the rockers, they will come out and start dancing hard.
It's the most beautiful thing. Take that.
That's hilarious. I have a video. I'll show you.
That is hilarious.
That and the electric slap.
So speaking of the ciphers, the best cipher, in my opinion, was the very first one when all the new people came out and did theirs. That was my favorite one.
Really?
But
which crew was that?
It was a bunch of unknowns. I don't know their names. It was a bunch of unknowns. There was a girl. There was a girl in there with the short hair. That was the freshest one to me. But one thing that stood out to me was ASAP. You know, the ASAP crew came out. ASAP Rocky had on some Daisy Dukes.
I don't understand that. I mean, you know what? It was the shorts and the tights.
It was everything.
The whole gear. I don't understand.
I can't wear shit like that. You can't do that. He's got that long hair, and I don't understand it. I don't understand what's happening.
I don't get a sneeze either.
So
I don't understand. That's Antoine's fault.
That's my alarm going off.
No, don't get up.
It's gonna keep going.
It's
gonna keep going the whole time.
I cannot stand him. Okay, so then ASAP, was it Nas? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, ASAP Nas. Was missing a tooth.
He had a little crackheadish look going on.
Yeah.
He had a really crackheadish
look. They didn't look like they were grown.
ASAP Ferg, I actually liked.
ASAP Ferg is kind of talented, I guess.
I could mess with you, ASAP Ferg.
Yeah.
Yes. He had a nice look.
So, yeah, this other dude, Travis Scott, has been around for a while. He just looked lost. He looked slow.
I didn't know what was going on.
He was looking down. He never made eye contact with the camera. But then, at some point, Tiffany Fox, who is Lil Kim's protege, she came out. Actually, and that was a pretty good cipher with Tiffany Fox and Action Bronson, I think, both of them. We're in the same cipher. So I'm like, okay, and I knew Kim was gonna pop up, and Kim shows up, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening
right
now?
She makes me sad.
It is. It was her face. They had the side shot, and for people that don't know, like, when you get a nose job, sometimes when they have to cut the skin away, you end up with a scar on the side, and she has a visible scar on the side of her nose from where they basically whittled all the fucking skin away. So they showed that shot, and it was not flattering. Her body is just like, it's just bubbles. It's just bubbles. And then she tried to start rapping, and she can't move her fucking face. And then she's rapping like a ballad girl. You know, in the beginning, it was like, you know, the way Kim rapped, you know, that's how she sounded. And now she's just like, it's just this whining. It's like her voice has changed. And the flow was whack.
It
was whack.
Kind of sad. Made me sad.
Oh, man. Oh, it was so bad. I was so disappointed.
Oh, yes. So the first cipher you're talking about, I think they were, so yeah, R-H-O-H. I think that's what was the name.
Is that who they were?
I don't know. I think that was the name of their cipher or something.
No, that's real Husbands of Hollywood.
Thank you. You know what? The way you did it, I was like completely confused. I was like, wait, that sounds like
the way I did what?
Hello.
On the thing. Anyway, so Ritz, in the first cipher though, one of the artists was Ritz, and then the other one was John Connor. They had really nice clothes.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously, we don't need to talk about Kendrick again. We talked about him last week.
Smashed.
Yeah, and it's funny because the one part that got all the press was the worst part of his verse.
Oh, really?
The part we talked about Drake was the weakest part. The rest of it was really tight.
I
felt like he didn't even need to add that Drake part. That was added for sensationalism.
Your crying shit, unless you got some Kendrick in it. Woo!
Yeah, it was great. They had Missy on the screen, and she looked bad during the MC Light.
Did she?
Yeah, the MC Light thing where they gave her the I Am Hip Hop Award from Sprite. Missy, yeah, she looked sickly. She looked real sickly.
That's the one I couldn't.
Oh, and you get it. She looked sickly. But yeah, it was. I was entertained. Real Husbands of Hollywood did a cipher. That was my favorite one. Actually, it was the most entertaining.
That was entertaining. You're right.
Yeah, and then they ended it with Bone Thugs and Harmony, Busy Bone, Get Some Help, Get Some Help.
What song did they sing?
They did everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, you know, when you he looks wow. We'll be right back.
this artist is kind of mysterious. It's a band called Tuxedo, and they dropped an EP, and actually the EP came out a while ago. It came out around in March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. And I've been wanting to feature them as an artist for a while, but I thought I'd be able to get more information on them, but they're a complete mystery. You can find them, they're on Twitter. Their handle is Tuxedo. The EP is called Tuxedo Funk, and it's three songs.
It'll make you dance.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the 80s a bit.
It's disco funk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disco funk. It's like Evelyn Champagne. It reminds me a lot of like Kashif, like that late 70s with Melvin Moore, Evelyn Champagne King, and remember that song So Fine? I can't think of the guy who made it. That type, James D. Train. It's that type of sound.
Oh, you okay? Well, I don't know what's happening. Keep going.
Yeah. But the songs are, the first song is called So Good. The second one, I'm sorry, the first one is Do It. The second one is So Good. And the third one is Get You Home. Now, I'll tell you why I like them. I knew it immediately when I heard them. It's Mia Hawthorne singing lead vocals. And it's supposedly him and this guy named Jake One that put it together. But I hear some Pharrell in this, too. Mm-hmm. I hear a little bit of Pharrell. So they haven't come forward and claimed it. But the music is free. It's a free EP, so you should check it out. Really, really good stuff.
I did, like, Do It after, but honestly, I had to listen to it, like, three times. The third time, I was like...
Are you kidding me?
You know, I'm not a Mia Hawthorne fan, either. We listen to
this album. Isn't... But that's what makes this different. It's not a Mia Hawthorne song.
Whatever it was. By the third listen, I was like...
I can't believe you just didn't feel that initially.
I understand. I wasn't overwhelmed by it, but still, and I thought it was very danceable. It didn't make me move, so I get it.
I got it.
Oh, fuck,
because
I did it, so...
I know, I liked it. So, last remarks. Tina.
Have a good week, everybody. Just enjoy yourselves. Love people. Smile at people. Say hello.
Antoine.
Busy mom, get help. Handle that shit.
I'm going to take care of this call. Thank you for staying with us. And, tune in again. Yay, Madness Collective.
Tune in for new episodes every Monday at www.themadnesscollective.com. We out this bitch. West Side.